Turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 45. I'm going to read here a verse in a moment. Then I'm going to read a verse beyond that as well in Job. But just turn to Isaiah 45 and stay there for now. I'm talking here again about timeless truths that I feel are led up on my heart to speak about. And today I'm going to talk about the very nature, the very character of God, because God wants us to know Him as He really is, not a God of anger, a God of wrath, but a God who's full of love, mercy, and graciousness. So Isaiah 45, we're going to read here in verse 21, the nature and the character of God. It says here in the New King James Version today, it says, "Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient times? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no other God besides me." Notice this, a just God and also a Savior. There is none besides me is what God is saying here. God has a nature and God has a character that can be that makes Him identifiable to us. And the problem is many of us sometimes see God in a wrong light. We see God in ways that our background might have been shaped by our own fathers, our natural fathers, maybe by religious churches, religious organizations. God is a God who wants to reveal Himself to us in great and mighty ways. The good news also is God is so big, God is so vast, and God is so awesome. You're not going to ever really know God completely the way He is. You can see Him finally face to face, and all eternity goes by because there's many, many facets to God's nature and to God's character in this life and also for all of eternity. Many folks know about God, but they don't really truly know God. And I believe it's very, very important for us to understand that God wants us to know Him in intimate type fashion, because the book of Daniel says, in the last days, those who know their God in intimacy, they will also be strong and they will do exploits for Him. I really believe there's many exploits God has in store for each one of us to be doing on the earth in the short life we live here. And so those things are all accomplished here as we know God in intimacy, and God's able to speak to us. God's able to work through us. God's able to guide us, lead us, direct us by His Spirit in the places where the turbulent waters may be at, to throw us in those things that God may bring rescue to those that are perishing, those who need what God's placed in our lives. In the book of Job, chapter 42, verse 5, you don't need to turn there to that. It's only one verse here. But Job said at the end of all of his turmoil, at the end of all of his testings and all of his problems on his own body, lost his crops, lost his herds, lost his own children. He says, "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you for the first time face to face." I really want our young people to know that God is not a God just way out there someplace, like some nebulous being who's not a God who speaks to us, who's not a God that can be touched and felt and seen in the spiritual realm. Because the truth is, when you became a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God began to live inside of you. And then God began to reveal Himself to those who call upon His name and seek Him with all their heart, all their mind, and all their faith. And so our young people that are here today in this congregation that have gone upstairs, I want every one of them to know Jesus Christ, not just as Savior, but also as Lord, as God, and the God of relationships, and the God who speaks to us. Notice here back in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 21 again, the very last part of it, this it says, Isaiah says that God is a Savior, and God is also just. He's a Savior, but He's also just. It's the Savior part of God that is there for you and I. Praise God for the Savior whose name is Jesus Christ. God has saved us of our sins. God's provided healing for all of our diseases, all of our sicknesses. He's our Jehovah Jireh that makes sure all of our needs are met by His riches and glory through Jesus Christ the Lord. He's also our deliverer. He's our comforter. He's our protector. God is our Savior. It's only one part, though, of God's nature and God's character. It also says God is just. The just part of God is not just for you. It's for others around you. God will place in your life to be influenced by your life. It's God's justice that brings you boundaries. He brings you commandments. He brings you your word, not to vex you, not to bind you up, but you might become more effective to see folks come and know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in their lives as well. Because God says, "I've made you to be salt, and I've made you also to be light, to be influence upon darkness around you, to dispel darkness by the light that shines through you, but also preserve life and bring death to death by the salt I placed in your own heart and life by the power of my Spirit." So God's justice will sometimes bring to you prunings. He will sometimes bring to you discomfort. He'll sometimes bring to you corrections. He'll sometimes bring some things in your life that might seem unpleasant at the time. It's because God cares about others, not just about you. So praise God, God is our Savior. God cares about us, but God also is a God of justice who cares about others around us. And John 3:16 verifies this. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that all who come to him would come to know of eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ came to be our Savior, but he also came that all those who call upon his name, whosoever calls upon the name of Jesus Christ, will be saved. There's many whosoevers around you right now at your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your extended family, cousins, aunts, uncles, brothers, and sisters who are whosoevers didn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in their lives. God's justice will bring sharpenings inside of your life that'll bring you to a place to become more and more like God is, to be more effective for him in his kingdom and his kingdom's advancement. I'm going to go right now into a realm that I kind of call going National Geographic in a moment here, because the enemy, whose name is the devil, the deceiver, is also called what? He's called the father of all lies. Because Satan's a liar, Satan's also an expert at lying among things around us. Also, Satan tries to produce lies about God's nature and God's character himself. Satan will try to show us as God being angry, God being wrathful, God being judgmental, God always trying to find the wrong thing with us all the time. Satan, the father of all lies, produces lies even about God himself. And also the sad thing is, Satan also tries to make even God himself appear to be a liar himself. The first thing Satan says to Eve back in the Garden of Eden, he says, did God really say these things? Or was God maybe lying to you? And so Satan, the author of lies, the father of lies, the expert of lies, brings lies to us in nature, in things around us, in our surroundings. And many atheists today are atheists because they're seeing a fallen world, they're seeing a fallen nature, they're seeing a fallen mankind, and they think that what they're seeing around them, if God is so good and God is so just, then why do these things all exist around us like this in the earth in a fallen nature? That's why it is so important to have discipleship classes by folks like Jack Adams back here, because folks need to realize that God did not just come to save us through Jesus Christ. He came also to disciple us to become more and more like he is, and to realize the God-given destiny God's placed inside of every one of our lives and become everything that God has called us to become upon the earth. Okay, so we're going to show this first picture here. We're going to go National Geographic now for about four pictures. This first picture shows Somalia in East Africa. Only a few months ago last year, they're going through one of the worst droughts they've ever had in human history. If God is just and if God is good, how can people and cattle and livestock and crops starve and go through a time of just total emancipation like this in a thing of drought that lasts so many months, so many weeks, and sometimes even so many years? People are actually dying of starvation, dying of thirst in places like this in Somalia. The next picture shows this. This is rams. These are bighorn rams out there in Colorado. Do you really think that back when God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit all got together and made all of creation, they said, hey, Jesus, let's make this animal called the bighorn sheep. Let's cause him to have 30-pound horns. Let's make him have a desire to find a mate every springtime. And to do that, let's make these bighorn sheep get about 50 feet apart, then run at each other head on and hit at 20 miles an hour and knock each other silly for about 3 hours a day till blood comes out their nose. Wouldn't that be fun to see that, Jesus? Wouldn't you kind of like that, Holy Spirit? Do you think God really has a desire to see things like that take place? We got to find our wives by ramming our heads together like this, by burning rubber on our tires, and by doing things to impress the opposite sex that brings blood out of our noses? Is God really like that on the earth? The next picture shows this. This is a man in 42 degree below zero weather in Alaska last year. Do you really think when God made this entire earth, he said, let's make parts of the world become so cold that when man spits out of his mouth, it actually freezes in the air. It is so cold for him. Let's make him wear thick coats, let him get frostbite, let him live in igloos and hunt all kinds of seals in 15-foot thick ice. Let's do parts of the world like that, saith the Lord. Do you think God really did that from the very creation of the earth? People see things like this today on the earth. The last picture here is a picture of Joplin, Missouri, when an F5 tornado comes through last year and kills dozens of people almost instantly in this 200 and some mile per hour wind that comes through there in a 1 mile wide swath. We see houses torn off their foundations. We see only the slabs left behind. We see the homes of folks disrupted. Do you really think when Jesus Christ, when God the Father and the Holy Spirit came together at creation, they said, hey, let's make some great big storms appear just for the fun of it there and make some great big old destructive things take place and see what happens there to teach those folks a lesson who sin upon the earth. Let's do things like this for them in a sinful nature. I don't think so. So go back, if you could, to the regular blank slides. I want to say again, that's what the world sees around them. They sometimes even call these tornadoes acts of God and acts of the Creator. My Bible tells me that Satan comes to kill and steal and destroy. And the Bible says that all of creation groans for the revealing of the sons of God upon the face of the earth. God is not a God of wrath, a God of anger, a God of destruction, a God who wants to bring bad things to people. God's a God of peace, love, and mercy and kindness. I want to see some things this morning here in these scriptures and by these notes as well of how God is a good God, God is a just God, God is a saving God, and God is always more than enough for His people in these last days. Amen? Amen. Let's see some now. Let's see some of God's character traits as well. The first character trait of God I want to visit this morning is one that's called compassion. Compassion. When I was raised in a church from age 11 to about age 20 before going off to Bible school, I was told many, many times that God's a God is always kind of in a pouncing position, trying to find sometimes things that are wrong with us to kind of pounce on us for and bring punishment to us. Now, the truth is God does know how to spank us. And God does know how to bring sometimes some uncomfortable things in our lives. We're going through disobedience and sinful actions on an ongoing basis. God can do that. But again, I say that God's spankings always are redemptive spankings that draw us to Himself, not away from Him, but draw us to Him. Amen? So God's a God of compassion. Psalm chapter 111, verse 4 verifies this. And it says, He, God, He has made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. God is not just partly full of compassion. God is completely, totally consumed by and filled with compassion inside of His life. Think about your own kids at your own house. Isn't it true that sometimes your kids drive you crazy? Kids do some things that are just totally off the charts. They surprise us in sometimes negative ways that don't make us very happy. I've got three kids. And I tell you, I've been going through teenage years now with three kids as well. But even though they're all perfect pastor's kids, they have done things, they do things that sometimes just totally blows our mind. And so praise God that God gives us grace, but also God gives us compassion even for our children in times of failings, in times of weakness, and in times of backward momentum in their lives. I praise God for the compassion God placed inside of us. Exodus chapter 22, verse 26 verifies that God's placed that compassion in us because God is full of compassion. Exodus 22, 26, it says, God gives instruction here to the Israelites about His compassion. And it says, if you ever take your neighbor's garment of clothing as a pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down. For that is his only covering. It is his garment for his skin. What will he sleep in? And it will be that when he cries out to me, I will hear because I am gracious. I am full of compassion. That's the same spirit that lives in you and lives in me as well, is that spirit of compassion. God says, if you have your neighbor's cloak there for a season, for a pledge, make sure he gets that back for the cold winter nights. He does not find himself shivering in the cold there. Have compassion on your brothers, on your sisters, is what God is saying to us. Is that reason there about compassion is why folks in our church today are visiting prisoners. They're visiting hospitals. They're going overseas to Costa Rica to help out the poorer folks in nations like that. We're going to those that are in hospitals that are sick and need to have prayer, need to have meals brought to them. They're doing things in our congregation that totally blows my mind as well, because God's Spirit in us is flowing through us, giving us compassion for things around us on the earth. Do you realize that happiness, done in research done by secular university, they found that happiness does not come by newer cars, newer houses, being beautiful, having a great education, or having a whole lot of stuff and things and money and security for the future. They found true happiness comes to people who are serving others with their giftings and talents and times and money and abilities. That's where happiness really does come from, is serving folks around you. Compassion is the best pill, this anti-depression on the face of the entire earth. Amen? If you could just market compassion in a pill form, we'd be multi-billionaires today, because that brings peace. It brings happiness. It brings joy to people like nothing else can do. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Look at this now on the screen. And it says, which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers, notice this, of the divine nature. God wants us to be partakers of His divine nature. The good news is the Holy Spirit lives in us. His compassion's already in us right now today. He just says, can you just tap into it? Can you just find a way to show compassion to people around you and be that person of mercy in their lives as well? The Spirit of God that lives in us will deposit and give us a realm and a way to minister compassion to people around us like nobody else can do in their own natural flesh. I thank God when Cheryl and I came to Austin, Texas back about 14, 15 years ago, there were two men, and one of these men you might meet that go fishing this coming weekend with the San Marcos group. This man goes to church in that church in San Marcos. Their names are Keith Taylor and a man named Dan Ammon. They're not here today, of course. But these two men are both construction workers who had great compassion on me in my season for about 2 years of secular work in between ministry assignments in our lives. These guys both used me as painters and framers for a short amount of time. I want to promise you, my main gifting in life is not framing houses and is not painting homes and walls and so forth as well. These guys would take and be patient. They knew I was slow. They knew I was awkward. They knew I didn't know how to handle a nail gun. I did not know what a T-square was. I didn't know how to take and use things, of seeing plans and so forth. These guys, because of compassion in them as believers in Jesus Christ, took me under their wings and paid me a decent pay there and said, I will just go faster as you go slower there because I have compassion in your life. I know your family has needs. I know you have needs. And so I worked as hard as I could work for them, but praise God for their sake. It only lasted for about a year in their lives and my life as well. The good news is both these men have been mightily blessed on the other side of me, and they're both doing very, very well right now in the secular field of their workplace here. But praise God for compassionate people who will take folks under their wings sometimes in times of need and times of reversal and be a blessing to their lives. Amen? I know you guys are like that yourselves as well. Jesus Christ was known for His compassion. The Bible says He had compassion on the masses and said, they're like sheep with no shepherds. And He began to teach them, began to pray for them, began to heal them, began delivering them because He had compassion on the masses. The Bible says He had a place where He was preaching a sermon one day, and there were 5,000 folks out there with no food. Because He had compassion on them, He said, give me the 5 loaves, give me the 2 fish. He blessed them, broke them, and fed over 5,000 people that day because of compassion. When Jesus Christ comes back to the sisters of Lazarus, Martha and Mary, the Bible says Jesus wept with compassion because they were crying over their lost and dead brother whose name was Lazarus. By compassion, Jesus Christ yells out, Lazarus, come forth! And by that compassion, by that grace and power, God heard his prayer, God heard his cry, and raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus Christ, in God's nature, God's character, the Father, was full of compassion every day of his life. I'm saying to you guys right now today, do not let the things around you of tornadoes, of ram's horns, of drought and lack and economic turmoil ever harden your hearts towards compassion for people around you upon the earth. We need that compassion flowing through us in greater measure, not lesser measure, in these last days. Amen? We're going to covenant to do that with God's grace and God's help every day of our life. Compassion does not mean that you agree with everything around you or condone bad behavior. It simply means I still will love people regardless of their bad behavior and their wrong decisions. I will still show compassion to them in Jesus' name. Amen. God never gives us a license to be mean to homosexuals, to be mean to those who have abortions, to be nasty to those who have a different faith than we've got that are Mormons or JWs or whatever else. We must still have compassion for people like that in hopes they shall be saved, they shall be delivered, they shall be set free, but God also loves them as he loves you and me. Amen? Let us have compassion, not meanness, in these last days. Number two, second nature about God is very important, is justice. God's a God of justice. One thing that Cheryl and I both hate, we both hate vehemently, passionately injustice. We hate injustice. She does even more than I do. But I've also found that justice is something all of us tend to like until we're the victims of justice. Amen? When I drive down I-35 at 10 miles an hour beyond the speed limit, the last thing I want to see is red lights flashing in my rearview mirror. I don't want to see that. When I see some smart aleck 20-some-year-old, though, take his sports car and go flying around me on I-35, going 90 miles an hour, I say, where's the cops when you need them? You're like that as well. You're all like that yourselves. You see, you want justice when you're the victim, but you don't want justice when you're going to be the one who's going to get penalized by that justice in your own life. And God tells us again, I'm the God of justice, but I also work on an equal opportunity basis with my justice. Sometimes God brings justice even to his own children, and it may hurt, may not like it at the time there, but it's always good for us because God is a God of justice. You know, back about five or six years ago in Disney World, our daughter again, Sarah, who went through that situation there in the hospital, 45 days intensive care and so forth, because she went through such a life, almost a life-threatening thing, the folks at Dale Children's Hospital felt she deserved the Make-A-Wish Foundation prize or reward that year. And so they said, what do you want to do, Sarah, for your Make-A-Wish, your prize, reward, whatever you want to call that? She said, I want to go to Disney World, and I want to be Snow White. And so they went ahead and sent Cheryl, myself, Sarah's sister, Kristen, our children's pastor, and Sarah, all four of us, totally free of charge, flew us out to Disney World, gave us a nice rental SUV, gave us a nice place to stay in that's called Give Kids a World Village, and put what's called a fast pass on our wrist. It said it was a fast pass, which means we can go to every single ride in Disney World and cut the lines and go to the front of every line of every ride in Disney World for 3 solid days. We were passing folks who were waiting in line sometimes for 2 to 3 hours for one ride. We go right in front of all of those guys, right to the front of the line, get right on the ride almost in 5 minutes or less, every single ride in Disney World for 3 solid days. In that time of being there, praise God for that, I was sitting down one time resting in the afternoon, and our daughter, Kristen, wanted to get a snow cone. So she goes in the line there behind about 15 folks waiting for a snow cone. I'm sitting off about 50 feet away myself, kind of watching what's going on around me. And I noticed there was a foreign lady behind her from some European nation. And I could see her kind of sneakily kind of making her body kind of wedge in sideways around Kristen. Then I saw that she was watching Kristen's face. When Kristen looked to the left, she goes to the right and cuts in front of her in line. I thought, that dirty, rotten scoundrel. She has taken and snuck her way in a very, very sly little European woman type way there, like they do in Europe all the time. This is a very cultural thing, just by the way here. That happens all the time in most nations around the earth. Not America, not in Texas. We're all godly folks over here. Amen. But I'm saying they do this in foreign nations a whole lot. And so she got her way, got in front of my daughter, Kristen, and I sat there and just watched the whole thing. I didn't get up and usually I would kind of get up maybe and say something. I'd kind of sit there. And so as I was sitting there kind of stewing, kind of angry, kind of miffed a little bit there, the Holy Spirit comes on me and says, this is a test. You guys have been going to the front of the line for 2 solid days to every single ride in this park here, and this woman now cuts in front of your daughter, and what is your reaction to that? It's God showing justice. How God says, I'm going to test you guys sometimes. The same way you've been blessed in your life, can you now bless unlovely folks around you who do unlovely things with the grace God's placed in your life as well? And so I learned a big lesson from that again. Sometimes things happen to test us, to poke us and prod us, to show God's justice is at work around us, sharpening us in great ways that'll bless our lives. Amen. Don't cut in front of our lines, though, and we go to Disney World anymore. I don't want to see it take place again, okay? Once is enough. One time's enough. I got grace for one time. I'm not going back anytime soon, though. All right, we see God's nature of generosity displayed to us, even in our in nature and also in our bodies. Look at fruit trees. Fruit trees always produce enough apples and pears and oranges to have some of them fall to the ground and rot and feed all the insects and all the dirt beneath them. We see in our own bodies how God's given us. I heard a doctor say the same thing to Cheryl during, again, Sarah's ordeal. It's like 5 years ago. He said, it's amazing how God gave the human body, gave us in our human body, almost an extra part for everything needed in our lives. If we lose one ear, we still have one left. If we lose an eye, we still got one eye left. Amen. If you lose a kidney, you still got one good kidney left. You can lose actually almost half of your liver and still function almost normally with only half of your liver. God gave you also extra veins in your legs, so if you ever need a bypass surgery for other parts of your body, they can remove veins in your legs here. Your body will never miss those veins at all and put those veins in different parts of your body there to supplying blood to your body. God's a God that's generous. It gives us more than enough in our lives. Now, I want to say one thing about that also. God did not give us a brain big enough to live on half a brain, okay? We need our whole brain. So never, never, never get by on half a brain or a third of a brain. Well, we need the whole thing to work, all right? Okay, so moving along here as well. The third thing about God's nature and character is a word called generosity. Generosity. Because God is a generous God. God taught me generosity very strongly back about in the 1980s in South Africa. Cheryl's sister went through her second tragic divorce in the 1980s. Her husband was abusive and alcoholic and was doing abusive things to her. She had every right and reason to leave her with her three kids who were very small at that time. They were, I think, ages 4, 7, 10, something like this. But the problem was a man left her totally destitute with no money, no job, no income, no resources. And so we prayed about this and said, let's go ahead and have Linda maybe come and move about 500 miles away to our home in Pinetown, South Africa, and live with us. Now, at first, I was thinking my own brain here. You know, I like this house being a place of refuge. I like having my wife and my little boy Daniel and my little brand-new baby named Kristen, at that time, no Sarah. And I said, it's going to really upset our apple cart to bring in three young kids and also Cheryl's sister in a place like this with three bedrooms in our house. And so I had to kind of go through turmoil with that for a while in my own selfish type way. But I had a piece about from God about doing that. So I said, okay, pack them up, get the truck, bring them back here. They moved in with us for, I think about one year solid. The problem also was they got in our house, I realized these kids like to eat. And the big problem was every year I had a care package shipped me from somewhere in Texas full of all kinds of American goodies you could not find in South Africa. It was full of chocolate chips, taco seasoning, M&M's, peanut and plain flavored, Snickers candy bars could not be had over in South Africa. Well, the problem was these kids also liked sugar and they liked candy. I tried to sneak these things for a little small season there, but the Holy Spirit came on me in justice and saying, I was generous to you. You must be generous also to others. I said, oh God, the Snickers, the M&M's. I only have a limited amount. It only comes one time a year. I'm not going home for 10 months. The Holy Spirit dealt with my heart and said, you share those things, those people there. They also like sugar themselves. And I broke out the M&M's. He broke out the Snickers candy bars. We shared those things with them. And because God is a God of generosity. Amen. I want to promise you, God made up for all those things we lost there as well in that season, that time. And God has now blessed those kids, blessed that woman. She's got remarried again, but she's finding herself in many ways good, well off in life from that. Something else? Who does? Oh, yeah, that's right. She said those kids today, over 15, probably 20 years later, still remember how we were generous to them, and they're still blessed. They have, actually have tears come to their eyes even to this day when we see them because of what God did through us for them over 15, 20 years ago. God's a God of generosity. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, the Knox translation says here, let us practice generosity to all while the opportunity is actually ours. And above all, to those who are of the family, of one family with us in the faith of Jesus Christ. I praise God today for Carlos and Carly Goico. Just had a garage sale, I think was it yesterday. You guys were so generous to bring in some clothing, some furniture, some goods, and some things. They sold those things yesterday, putting those towards Carly's medical bills that have stacked up. Time and time again, we see folks in our congregation being generous like this, doing things to bless others in this congregation and beyond as well. You see God's nature of generosity also displayed in the Good Samaritan parable. The Bible says in the Good Samaritan parable, it says, the Good Samaritan came along and saw the man bleeding and dying by the Jericho road. And it says he stopped and he takes that man and puts him on his own donkey, hauls him to the nearest good hotel he comes to, and gives the innkeeper there a thing called 2 denarii. And 2 denarii is actually 2 days' wages. Today is about 200 and some dollars. He gave him cash. He said, here, I want to pay the man's stay here. And when I come back through in a couple of days, anything this man has spent above this, I will also pay that as well. Because God's a God of generosity to people around us who have needs that can be met through us as God's blessed us. Amen? Even in the present economy today, we believe that God has given us the ability to be those who actually could sow the tithes, sow the offerings, and sow things of alms around us. Here at Tree of Life Church, you'll never find us trying to twist you guys' arms, trying to do manipulation to you in some spiritual type, religious type sense to make you give an offering or a tithe here, giving you a erroneous promise even sometimes. If you give to us, you're guaranteed a 100-fold return back even to yourself. Those things are what I call manipulation. They're called fragmentations. We can't guarantee those things to you. Only God can bring back to you the increase when you give. Amen? In this church, so there'll be times here we'll give opportunity there to sow into the youth and the children and the women and needs of folks in our congregation. The good news is we find folks in our church being very, very generous on all occasions. All of our needs are being met by God's riches and glory in Christ Jesus through you guys being obedient yourselves in tithes, offerings, and alms. And I'm saying keep on doing that. Do that with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, knowing that God will bless that and God will use that for his glory. But God's not going to give us ever the ability to be those who manipulate you guys and try to get things in a sneaky type fashion from you. The last thing in number 4 is a word called love, the word love. God's nature, God's character is all about love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. We all know this verse by memory perhaps. And it says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. I was told in Bible school there's 4 kinds of love. There's eros, erotic type love. There's storge, love for folks around you, like I love David Letterman, or I love Whitney Houston when she was alive. I love her music. I love her nature. I love people that I don't know in an intimate type way. Then there's phileo love, brotherly love. I love Dr. Flint, or I love Chad, or I love James, or I love the Huckabees here. This is a kind of a brotherly type love, love one for another in this kind of a realm. It's higher than storge love. But the best love of all is called agape love. That's the love that Jesus Christ and God the Father, the Holy Spirit, all have for us in the earth we live in today. It's agape love that says, I will love you regardless if you love me, if you're ugly, if you're nasty, if you're bad, you're erroneous, I still love you regardless because I'm a God of agape love is what he's saying to us. That's the kind of love that God has put inside of each one of us also is his agape love. How many folks would agree today there's many unlovely folks around us right now? They need your agape love by God's Spirit coming out of you to them. They might have been hurt, bruised, wounded by things around them in the past or even the near present there. But they need the church of Jesus Christ to rise up and display agape love in these last days. We should be greatly encouraged to catch a glimpse of eternal pleasures before us because even in man's own fallen nature, man shows love to us by building things like Disney World, things like cruise ships, things like supersonic jets, things like 5-star hotels, things like the Golden Gate Bridge, things like Schlitterbahn and Six Flags. These are all birthed by man loving people, loving children, loving entertainment around us in this short life we live on the earth. And the good news is God is love, and God's going to do far more than Disney World, Six Flags, Schlitterbahn, the Golden Gate Bridge, and all kinds of resorts in the life to come. Because God loves us so much. God's a God of excitement, a God of enthusiasm, a God of creativity, a God of more than enough for eternity and life forevermore. Amen. So we're seeing things around us right now that bring some pleasures for a season, perhaps, by man's limited love in a fallen world. God's going to display to us agape love forever and ever and evermore. It'll never, ever end. That's the kind of God that we serve. As we have our helper come to the platform right now, that's going to help James out in his absence to perhaps play something on the platform. Who's that going to be? It's going to be David. I want to end here by saying again, if you ever hear anybody in this church ever say anything like, the people at Tree of Life Church, they just don't love folks. They just don't reach out to others. They're just not doing quite enough. I want you to understand that people in our congregation have done so many things behind the scenes you're not even aware of. It would blow your mind if you knew about this. I know $1,000 gifts being given to people who are going through medical difficulties, going through disasters in their own families. I know of folks that are providing meals for others around them behind the scenes for those folks that have been in a hospital that are sick, that are convalescing. I know of folks that are going to foreign countries, going to Mexico, going overseas, and going to neighborhoods right here in our own community, helping people out, helping out battered women, helping out those in prison, helping out those that are going through times of confusion, times of depression. People in our congregation are doing that behind the scenes. They're not blowing their own horns. They're not advertising things from the pulpit. They're doing it secretly behind the scenes. You don't know about that. God knows about that. Don't ever believe that folks in our church don't care about people out there beyond our walls, because they do. And they're showing that by their actions, by their graciousness, by their love, one for another in Jesus' name. May that love increase more and more. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning, I want to pray today that we can be those who ask the Lord God to help us see the character and nature of God being formed in us in greater, deeper, broader, more clear ways than ever before. Today I want to receive more of God's compassion. I want to receive more of God's justice working inside of my life and through my life. I want to also receive more and more of God's love. I also want to receive more and more of God's generosity working in me and through me for those around me that have needs that need to be met by me and what God gives me in abundance in this life. Let's pray together today that Father God gives us that ability to have an expansion, have an increase of His nature and character in us. Those who know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. And Father, I praise You, O God. I thank You, O Lord, this day, that You are the God that has given us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. Holy Spirit, be contagious in us. Be expanding in us. Be growing in us. Causing our soul and our flesh to be full of compassion. Be full of generosity. Be full of justice. And be full of agape love in this life we live. And Father, I pray today if we've fallen short in any way in these four areas, O God, of Your nature and character, forgive us, cleanse us, wash us. So your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed right now. I want to say again today, 1 Corinthians 13 is called the love chapter. And it says, love is so important that everything we do must go through the filter of agape love. It said, if I take and feed the poor, give my body to be burned, prophesy, give out mysteries, teachings, ministries that are going to shake nations, I am a clanging gong and a sounding cymbal if I don't have agape love flowing with me through that, or through me for that, as I do that upon the earth. What God is saying to you is, if you feed the poor, if you go to missions trips, I always tell missionaries to go, Americans going over places like Costa Rica and so forth in poor areas, don't ever come back here and telling other Christians how sorry we are because we're so rich and they're so poor. How can we dare not do more for them? That's not love. Love works both ways, for the needy and also for the believers in Jesus Christ. Let's purpose this day to use our mouth for life and use our hearts for life as well. We're going to do our acts of righteousness before God, not before man, and know that our reward and our applause comes from heaven, not from people upon this earth, perhaps. That doesn't matter, though. Because God rewards those who seek Him diligently, and God does more than enough. But while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed also, one moment longer today, I'm going to ask this morning, is anybody in this congregation today that says, my heart is really not right with God right now? I can't sense that compassion, that love, that generosity, that justice flowing through my life. I don't sense myself being close to God, maybe not even knowing God. And I want to be prayed for today. that I would be a person of compassion, a person of justice, a person of purity, a person of divine love, a person of generosity in my life. If you're like that this morning, would you please raise your hand just for a moment and say, I want to see that take place in my life today. I want my heart right with God today, because my heart right now does not seem to be as close to God as it should be. Would you raise your hand in honesty today if you're like that this morning? I'm not here to embarrass you. We're here to take and pray and ask God to do a work in your life. Praise you, God. Well, Father God, I thank you. The folks in our congregation, I sense that there's already been a work done in their lives. That you, O God, are right now just giving a confirming word to us, O Lord, this morning. You're confirming, O God, there is still more compassion to tap into. There is still more generosity to tap into. There is still more justice to embrace, to walk in, and to live in. There's still more love, O God, to increase in our lives and through our lives, O God. And those things, O God, come to pass for Tree of Life Church and for this congregation and for our youth and for our children. We praise you, God, these things, these character qualities of you, Lord, are manifest in us and through us in Jesus' name.